dong dollar, Indian cents, English pounds and Eskimo pence.
Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. And this is Mocha Gumbo, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm James.
And we are back.
Can you?
Yeah. Are you not good? Give me one second.
There we go.
Like
ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I can hear myself. Yeah.
We are back from Thanksgiving break, which was, I don't know why, but this felt longer for me. I don't know. It felt restful. I enjoyed myself. Usually, I think it was Danny who at some point said this and fall break were just long enough to, you know, be a break, but too short to get you comfortable. So you're home for 3 days you're back.
You don't slip into the, not melancholy, it's apathy. You know what I mean? It's almost like you still care about school is a thing.
Because
I was doing a bit of work when I was home.
Right. I didn't get screwed like I usually do.
Mm.
Because every now and then, you'll get a class and they'll throw like a 400-page manifesto due.
Oh yeah, I had a thing
on
due,
Thanksgiving. You know,
I had a thing due today actually.
Yeah, that's a pain.
So I had to go through all that. Interestingly enough, so my professor, I was talking to my we had linear that Friday before, and he goes, "Well, I didn't grade your guys' quizzes because you told me that it would ruin your break, so I didn't, right? And I'll give them to you on Monday."
That's sweet.
Also, we have an exam next Friday. And we were like, I thought you didn't want to ruin our break.
Like, yeah, it was sugarcoating. Sugarcoating to pull the Band-Aid off. How was your Thanksgiving? We kind of talked about this. Anything exceptional other than, you know, pounding them?
Nah, it was... What?
You know, throwing them back.
Oh. No.
Not that you would do that ever.
My regular Thanksgiving.
Right.
With my family. We always do it with my immediate family. Everyone else is... my clan is either dead or in Delaware.
Excuse me?
Dead or in Delaware.
That's
everyone in my family who isn't dead lives in Delaware.
That's actually a really badass family slogan.
Yeah. Dead or in Delaware. Except
I could see that on a crest in Latin. That's really nice.
Yeah, the one my mother's side does Thanksgiving with their extended family, her brothers and all them, and then my father's side is all in Delaware, and it's feasible to do something with them, but we usually just don't go to the trouble.
Right.
It's my family's weird like that. We don't do big stuff except for Christmas usually.
Mm-hmm. I would never buy, just as a disclaimer, I would never buy another Call of Duty game after like World War, no, not World War II,
World
of War. Yeah, because it's getting to be like the Final Fantasy series. Where they're trying exceptionally hard to make the same thing happen over and over again. Ooh, that was loud.
Maybe.
But I got it from a friend because we can do this thing on PlayStation where you share games. So I got World War II, and my dad, incidentally, is really into it.
Really?
He loves Call of Duty.
First-person
I don't know why.
Shooters.
Yeah.
My father never liked them. He said my father's he's like an old man mentally, right? He said that there's too much going on for me. I can't do it. He can't keep track of all of it, you know?
Well, no, I eased him into it. So, like, you know, he used to play... when my mom and dad were younger parents, you know, like 27 or whatever, and we were super young, they would have a bit more...
Oh, how young are your parents? Wow.
My dad is 50. So, my brother's 26. 27.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. So, like, those really early years, you know, they would play video games, and then I slowly, like, urged, I started them with, like, Galaga, and then, like, or, like, I don't know, like, Halo, where the AI is brain dead.
Yeah.
And they just sort of spin in circles, so he was like, all right, I can get into this.
Hmm.
And now he's been playing Battlefield, whatever, but that's what we did. Thanksgiving, we had a very quiet, small Thanksgiving with, you know, just me and my immediate family, and I threw on the COD and went from 1 to 40 in one day.
Jesus.
We started at 11.
That's the great American tradition.
Oh,
right
really?
There.
It was great. Reliving, like, war horrors for fun on Thanksgiving.
I mean, at least
throwing back
a
the hard cider.
One yet, you know?
I don't think that'll ever happen. Right?
You'd be surprised.
Well, and the reason I say that is because I know that we're going to do a show about if a historical depict, they were going to do a show about, and I, this sort of frustrated me. It was going to be an alternate reality when the South won the Civil War.
Yeah, didn't they have?
Yeah,
and they had one where the Nazi Germany won.
Right, World and War it was II, a yeah. great show.
I've heard it's
got
I've heard
raving
it's
reviews.
What is it called?
The Man
it's,
in the High Tower.
Yeah,
I think.
It sounded very cool.
Or the High Castle.
Yeah, High Castle.
But it got raving reviews. Now the one with the Civil War. There were a bunch of protesters and boycotters who were saying, we're not going to allow this show to happen. I think it was HBO again, actually. It might have been the same studio.
Yeah, because the North didn't win the Civil War. The
right.
South just, you know, conceded.
But, so...
yeah,
they,
I'm looking out for you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for being the mouthpiece. But they were saying, you know, it's just there can never be depictions of that sort of brutality if the Southerners had won. Which, first off, you don't know what the depictions are going to be. If there can be a depiction about what happened if Nazi Germany took over the world,
yeah,
and it can be
bit,
and it can be done tasteful enough that reviewers aren't putting it in the trash, then, I mean, how could you make how could you, like, exert prior restraint on something when there's already been a precedent set where, like, we can do this, we've done it and people love it, and reviewers, you know, critical reviewers love it.
Yeah.
But it got shut down. So after that, I think it got shut down. The last thing I heard about it, it was done. It was canned. I think we would have to, based on that, if that ends up being the case and it is no longer a thing, yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do a Civil War.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I find it funny that Assassin's Creed is sort of so far curbed its way around that one, even though it's very obvious and sellable.
Yeah, I like
not internationally, but
so they got they have the modern warfare, right, and they have the advanced warfare. I want them to go to prehistoric warfare. You know what I'm saying? Like you got rocks and you have spears
yeah.
and all, right?
But for
and then
some
when
reason,
when you get 30 kills, you get a meteor strike and just.
But for some reason, they still use like the British like voice actor for like Captain McWeer or whatever his
That'd
name
be
is,
because
he just comes up in every game and is like, "Oh, we're ghosts in this blizzard, mate." And then you go back, you know, 20, 40,
million
80,000
years.
Yeah. But he's still there for some reason. It's like a refined British South Side accent.
No, the rest of the people can't even speak.
Yeah, but
at
the studio's like, we have this guy on contract. We got to do this.
Like, we need a voice line. We already recorded the voice lines. Like.
That's my problem with like those sort of games. Like, at some point, you realize, all right, the studio's just dragging me along.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when. I think it was, case in point, World of Warcraft, which is, I don't think it's esoteric to talk about because it's one of the biggest games ever.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Fair.
Like, even people who don't play video games know that universe. And they had all this universe, like, all this stuff they could have picked out for one of their expansions, and then they decided to make Mists of Pandaria, which was a video game about pandas who could speak. They were just like, they had all of this other stuff, like all these orcs and trolls and whatever, and then they were like, you know what? We need some talking pandas.
We need some Shaolin temple.
We need
up
pandas.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. And at that point, like when a studio starts doing that, I'm like, all right, I'm out. I'm cashing out.
Yeah.
And Call of Duty does the same thing. Like advanced warfare. And I was like, what is after? What could be infinite warfare? Now they're just coming up with different adjectives.
More than infinite warfare.
Like evasive adjectives that are like, what does that even mean? Infinite warfare? They were just, yeah, it's just going to be like subtle
just,
warfare.
Yeah.
Like what?
Warfare forever. Like,
warfare forever too. Yeah. That's, I can't.
Even more warfare.
So much warfare.
The idea of MMOs to me are actually really interesting. Do you know anything about EVE Online?
Yeah, I know they use it as an economic model.
Where is that? It's Iceland, I think.
I forget. Some think tank.
For those who don't know, it's EVE Online is like very briefly. It's an MMO where I'm pretty sure it's based on like space exploration and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's basically a giant interconnected network of galactic like companies, effectively.
I feel like you gotta say this like this.
I'm not doing the voice again.
Intergalactic companies.
And it has a lot, like all the stuff has real world value, and it's very cool because like if you take down like a huge fleet of ships or like if you
a peace treaty, you warmonger.
Yeah,
but
okay,
go ahead.
Right. People have literally like contracted people in real life to infiltrate corporations in the game. And take them out from the inside. And people lose and gain money off of that, which
oh, sure.
is, like, so weird to me.
I know a couple of people who made millions in, you remember Second Life?
Yes.
Second Life, yeah.
That's done now, right? That's gone?
I think so. But there were some people who had net worths of like $9, $10 million because they had a virtual clothing company that was extremely popular, which is just bizarre to me.
Mm.
But people would invest. I think the record for, if we could look this up right now, because I find this incredibly interesting.
Because they don't actually have any monetary value, right? Well, I guess nothing really has monetary value.
No, it's pegged because you can use real-world money to buy in-game items.
Yeah, but the in-game items don't have any actual value. The value is what people are willing to pay for it.
Right, right. Right. Well, that's pretty much how... I mean, it's
that's
not
how
pegged
everything
to
works,
anything.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's no gold standard. So I found this thread a while ago, and it's just... It's not because... If you love video games, that's fine. If you want to invest most of your leisure time doing that instead of, you know, snorting coke and killing drug lords, that's
or,
fine.
Or, you know, reading books or curing
whatever.
Cancer, you warmonger.
but this, I think there was a man who spent most hours played on, actually, it might have been World of Warcraft again.
I'm pretty sure I saw a guy who had over... maybe 5,000 hours in a game called the Universe Sandbox. That game is very cool. You literally just build a universe.
Huh.
Like, it just gives you, like, literally
that appeals
everything.
To my God complex. I would probably like that game.
There's also a game called... It's literally called Everything.
Uh-huh.
And it just is everything. Like, you have... You can be whatever you want. You can control a blade of grass if you want.
That's... I would love that. I always like Spore and Sims because I felt like it just feeds my narcissism.
Yeah, it's a true sandbox game. You can control an animated fence, but you're not like you don't have like eyes and you're like, oh, look, I'm a fence. You're a fence and you just like you move around.
Hmm.
It's such a strange game.
So just really quick, 1,100 days is just the initial come up. I believe there's actually a record. 1,100 days.
That's
over the course of what would now be, I think it's like 12th year.
Actually, 24,000 hours is not. Yeah, I mean, how long has World of Warcraft been?
That's what I'm saying. Over 12 years, but still.
I mean.
And now that's clearly, that might sound crazy that someone actually spent 3 years of 11 years on the game, but this also counts for times that the player is just logged in.
Yeah, just idle. And
which
stuff
means,
like that,
they're doing something else. But still, that's probably a reason, like even a 30%, half, let's say 50% of their time is idle.
So a year and a half.
That's still a year and a half out of 12 and a half. That's an insane amount of time. And people have made money off of that game too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. When I was younger, I was super, not so much anymore, but I was very susceptible to that game. I never thought I would be hyper addicted, but I would like drool and veg and like just eat through a tube so I can, I would have dreams about that game. That's
really?
How addicted I was. I would like go to bed and like think of my character and like, oh, I gotta get up tomorrow. Granted, I was 10, so there wasn't much else I had to worry about.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, oh God, this is a nightmarishly addictive game. Now I'm more into just like anything really casual, like addicting games. Like every once a
games.
Month, I'll go on like addicting games when I'm bored. Man, play around.
Jesus.
I love those. So we have 2 weeks left.
We do?
2 weeks. Well, we have 10 class days or 9 class days because today's over.
Yes.
That's crazy. Is it possible that it's been longer in the past? Like, there's been a...
No.
No?
It just... This semester and... Well, every subsequent semester just feels faster to me. You know what I mean?
I think that makes sense. I think there's a theory that...
Is it the fraction of your life thing?
Yeah.
We have talked about this,
I think.
We get another central theme. Aging.
Aging. Wow. We're depressing.
What? Aging, socialism.
Yeah, aging, socialism. Crashes. Those are... And plane crashes are, like, the topics at a domino game. Like for an 80-year-old in Cuba, you know, socialism, especially a Cuban, socialism, aging, and
and plane crashes.
And plane crashes. It's just it's crazy. Yeah, it's definitely been going progressively faster. I think that applies in the microcosm to the 4 years you spend in college.
Oh, absolutely. Now it's, college exists in a strange pseudo-space where, like, the laws of time and
it's just
being real human beings vortex. Just don't exist.
Uh-huh. I agree. I'm all right with it. I'm okay.
Oh, I love college. It's definitely, like, as much as I joke about it, so, like, people say, it's the best years of your life, and I'm like, oh, well, if it's the best years of my life, why am I slaving away doing...
I wouldn't call it the best years of my life. To be completely 100% honest, hasn't been the best years of my life. They've been okay.
Oh, no, these have definitely been the best years of my life. I really didn't enjoy most of, like, high school and before. And the rest of it I don't remember. I'm sure I was a lot, like, more whimsical, and I had a lot more
dreams and going aspirations. For me. Remember dreams? Yeah. Those were fun.
No. I don't. I've been apathetic out of the womb.
You came out deadpan, just...
You know, the baby, your babies, like, smile or cry.
Yeah, and you were just completely just like, neutral.
Oh, I was born.
I guess I'm alive now.
I gotta deal with this for 80 years. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. For me, it's not even, like, expectations-wise. I don't have... I'm so satisfied with living in my own little place and going to work and then coming back. Mm. School is just like I'm living in a dorm, like at any school, and just, you know, doing work. You work where you eat, where you play. It's all just cramped into one space.
For me, it's really the camaraderie. I love being around people.
You're not really that impressive to me, so you're not redeeming that aspect. No, not just you. Julian's subpar. Well, I guess Danny's all right.
Thanks. Yeah. All right.
He just nods slowly. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, okay. Kevin. I can see that.
Thanks, Kevin. It's just I was pampered, you know, in high school. Prom king, baby. Never forget.
Really?
2015.
Is that one of those things where everyone votes to the unpopular kid so that he feels good?
Yeah. It was like, you know. In
like a charity event, yeah.
The guy with glass bones and paper skin who's, you know, beat terminal cancer twice and raised a bunch of money for some organization.
Yeah.
That was me. Except absent the achievements, I was just severely disabled. No, but I was right when they were like, yeah, Kevin Milton, prom king. I was like, oh, I like looked at my watch and went, all right, 11:10:32 on a Friday, 2015. That's when I peaked.
Oh my
that
God.
Moment. I got it tattooed on my forearm.
All downhill from here.
Yeah. Did I tell you that? Every morning I wake up, I open my window and I scream, I peaked in high school.
No. Oh actually, you definitely did.
Yeah. I peaked in high school. I just want everyone to know that, you know, I've been better. You know, I could try.
Yeah,
I could be.
I guess I never had
run this place.
I never had that crowning moment because I've never achieved
crowning
anything
moment.
In my life.
Yeah, well, I didn't achieve anything any.
Hey,
either.
Get it, prom king, crowning moment.
Nice. I don't think it was a majority vote. It was a plurality vote. So that means by the way, 80 kids in the class, no, 160 because we did it with the juniors. Very small classes. Mm. If they all voted for like 12 different people evenly and I got one more, I was de facto prom
king.
It's
one of those things where it's like, you know, it'd be funny if Kevin.
Yeah, can you imagine? You look
king.
Back, you look back in the yearbook, Kevin Milton is prom king.
Prom king, and then they vote for you and they're like, oh, wait, oh no. Like,
yeah.
We didn't actually mean it. This isn't funny at all.
I wish there's so many things I could.
Whoa!
Oh boy!
Is Julian trying to call?
No way.
They
call for all of 2 seconds. I will never answer that.
Julian has told me he has made it evident to me that he has tried to call us during the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will never pick up. And that's a shame because we might have fans that we'll never hear from. But I am terrified of answering that phone. And just someone screaming a racial slur or something, you know? And I don't know if
that's why we had the red button.
True.
You know that you press by accident when you lean back in your chair.
Yeah. When we never have time because I'm always clicking it. all right, so we're coming up to 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
20 minutes into the show. Yeah, time flies. That's what we were just talking about. We don't have... I mean, do you have anything?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot, actually.
Oh, I thought you said you had nothing.
Well, I have some oldies, and then I have some, like... Well, here, let's go. We'll start with Stay the Night by Jukebox the Ghost.
Stay the Night by Jukebox the Ghost. All right, that sounds great to me. We will be back in a couple of minutes. Enjoy the music. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely nothing.
You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. And welcome back to Mocha Gumbo. I'm still James.
And I'm still Kevin, and I'm getting caught in this tripwire here.
Sorry, I set up a few traps for you when you went to the bathroom.
Ooh, reminds us of our D&D game the other night.
You didn't go to the bathroom.
I didn't go to the bathroom. Theater of the mind, though. We can say whatever we want. You have to believe it.
That's true.
James, oh, stop kissing me, James. I hate it. Oh, no, don't kiss me. I'm still in the transition mode from, because I live two totally separate lives. Nobody really knows the real me, and I'm lying
like,
to you
like
all.
Like Harvey Dent, like face-wise, but personality-wise, right?
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly that.
But like when I'm home, my sense of humor is absurd and dark. And when I'm here, I put on airs, you know? So I'm still in the transition phase of, you know, denying every impulse of the stuff that makes me me. And
I think you should keep doing that. It's a good thing.
So now that we're on air, I'm realizing, oh shit, like a little, I don't want anything to get through the cracks because it could be the end of my radio career.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm really excited for, I was telling you before, that we started putting up our Christmas stuff.
It's at the point where it's now socially acceptable to want Christmas to come. That for me, that's like October 29th.
Yeah, no, for me. Yeah. I think it's December 26th is when
really?
I want Christmas to come.
That's, you mean right
as
after.
Soon as it's done, I want it again.
That's fair. I mean, it's my birthday, so.
That's actually why. I only care about your birthday.
I'll be 21 very
I've
soon.
Actually been, my family's been celebrating your birthday for 20 years, not Christmas.
I know.
Yeah. Fair. I didn't even know who you were, but they're like, oh, wake up, it's James's birthday. I'm like, who the hell is James?
Who? Excuse me.
Come on, we have a big face cake with your face on it.
Oh, yeah, and then you forgot again
it.
After, until I told you last week.
What?
That my birthday's on Christmas.
Well, I just assumed you were the living Lord. And your birthday is Christmas because it's Jesus' birthday, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm a bad Catholic. I'm a de facto. I'm a token Catholic.
I don't know if that's his birthday or not. I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah, it's a little weird if you put it as we're celebrating Jesus' birthday because it makes it sound like you know you should go to his party slightly late with a six pack of beer. And, you know, that's just like, it's Jesus' birthday. Oh, all right.
Like, oh, man, I didn't get him a gift.
Yeah.
Like,
this guy has a birthday every year. It's like the guy who throws a birthday for, like, his 34th
birthday
party. This
guy has a birthday
party.
Every year.
You know? Like, well, no, like, because they're, like
a birthday party,
like,
yeah.
I stopped having birthday parties when I was, like, 16.
Yeah. Oh, I stopped having birthday parties when I was, like, 9.
No, not 16, no. Because 16, because I went, I like did something because I was 16. I guess it was like a semi-big.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't
think
do large
scale
parties, but like, I'll hang out with like a group of people.
Right.
But I haven't done that in a while.
I stopped, no, I probably stopped having parties probably seventh grade, I think.
Yeah, that's
right. Because seventh grade, I still wanted to, even if it wasn't a party, it was at least me and like, you know, my close friends.
Yeah, but when you're in eighth grade, you're the cream of the crop. So, you know, big man on middle school.
Oh, it was nice. Those were the days.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? But there's people, and they're the worst people, and for some reason they're usually named Troy or Jake.
Really?
I don't know. They have a birthday every year, like they're... Like some nameless birthday that has no significance attached to it.
You
like
keep saying birthday, but I think you mean birthday party, right?
Birthday
like
party, birthday
yeah,
party.
Because
yeah,
everyone's got a birthday every year.
Right, well...
Unless
not,
you don't.
Unless you're a leap year person. Oh, I'm only actually 7. No, you're not. You're not actually
I'm only,
7.
I'm actually
you're
7.
You're a fully grown adult. Stop. Shut up. But, although if you use that quirkiness, you're probably not actually an adult.
You probably actually are 7 years old.
Yeah.
There's a funny Neil deGrasse Tyson thing where... Do you want to say your point first real quick?
The only thing I was going to say is the people who celebrate nameless birthdays, like with parties, are just annoying.
Yeah,
it's like,
Oh,
I'm having my 24th birthday party. Like, shut up. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Let me just buy you like a mediocre $30, $15 gag gift and have a beer and then I'll leave.
Yeah, once you pass 21, it's the... Oh crap! I'm 30 party, and then 50 is like, oh man, I gotta have a crisis party.
I think 40 you can have. I think every 10 years you can have a party.
I mean, you can, but like I think the big ones are definitely like 30, 50, and then you get like 75, and then you hit, and then every year after that, you should probably celebrate still being alive.
Yeah, because...
To my point, though, no, you're fine. I've been reading a lot of and seeing a lot of stuff on like Twitter and like Reddit and stuff about the you know the phrase "I am very smart," right?
I love that. I love that. So
I love those people. I love people who think they're so incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And you bringing up Leap Day, or Leap Years rather, reminded me of that because there was a tweet by Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of the founding members of I Am Very Smart, right? Because he's a very intelligent man.
Mm.
But he tries to talk about things that aren't in his field, and he just comes off sounding like,
right.
like a complete jerk.
I think he's like a general talking head, like a familiar talking head for all of science.
Yeah, but he doesn't know about all of science.
But he's not a brilliant scientist. He's a brilliant
figure.
And that's important. That's just as important as being a brilliant scientist, because if scientists didn't have public appeal, they wouldn't have public funding, and they wouldn't have
support. Nerds, so...
Yeah, so a guy like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's a nerd but can speak to you and be personable, not to say he's not intelligent, of course he's intelligent.
And not to say that other scientists aren't personable.
Right, but he is, like any field, like any organization that needs lobbyists, he's just good at it. But yeah. I'm sure, yeah, so he probably sounds like a...
Oh, no, well he does sound like... that kind of person, but this incident in particular. So he's like, I don't understand why we call it a leap year or a leap day, right? We're not leaping anywhere. It's just the Earth suddenly and abruptly catching up with us, right? Or something like that. And someone retweets it, and he said, "Huh, if only there was a word for a sudden and abrupt lurch forward." There's like just stuff like that. Like Neil deGrasse Tyson will say
that's
stuff
funny.
Like that, and I'll just be like,
"That's funny."
Or I don't know, that like genre of people was so funny to me.
I don't mind Neil deGrasse. I love Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh no, I don't mind him, but like there are definitely people who are like, like these are the kinds of kids who point to IQ tests and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like, which by the way are hot garbage.
You know, that's interesting because I had a professor recently who will remain unnamed, who spoke about the, you know, briefly, he wasn't hammering the point home, but the validity of IQ. And the thing is, it's hard to refute a standard when there's been no challenging standard.
Yeah.
You know? Like, nobody's been like, you know what, we need a new
quotient.
But,
like, what is the science behind the...
Right, well, my problem with it is, it's from, like, the set of questions is still from, like, the 1930s, isn't it? It's quite old. And I think Mensa still uses it to measure genius.
It's
but
something like that.
And one of the biggest problems with finding out if I agree with it or not is finding a legitimate one, because every single one on the internet is like, it's like there's ads on the page for like, get this iPod for 15 cents at yogabazz.xyq. And it's like, that's not a
that's not
a real website.
That's not a safe site. That's they're going to keep.
Well, it's like
you.
The new eBay, yogabba.edu/.gov/
what's your social security number?
What's your social security number?
Oh man. The worst thing out there now is young Sheldon.
I link the ad posters to that show to people when I have nothing to say. In conversation, I just link pictures of young Sheldon.
It's just like The Big Bang Theory is so bad already.
Yeah.
I saw this hilarious clip. Man. There's a subreddit called YouTube Haiku. And it's 15 to 30, or it's like it's one, but like no one does 1 second, but it's 30 seconds or less videos. Mm. That's it. They're all hilarious, or most of them are pretty funny. But it was one, and it was a clip of young Sheldon. And Sheldon, like, there's a woman in a classroom playing a cello. And he goes and he sits down at the piano and he starts in the actual show. I think he plays like a symphony that the cello is from. Right.
Mm.
And the teacher's like, do you play the or how long have you been? Do you know that symphony? And he says, no. And she says, how long have you been playing the piano? And he says, well, I don't play the piano. They're like, oh, man, he's a genius.
Whoa,
right?
Wow.
But in the clip. He starts playing the Rick and Morty theme song on the piano, and she's just like, "How long? Do you know that symphony?" And he's like, "No." It's so funny.
Oh man. I don't know where that came from either. Where did the, it's funny, I don't mind it, but where did the whole
Rick and Morty hate?
Rick and Morty equals, like, I am very smart people.
From the subreddit. Or, like the, just the fans in general. Like,
well, because the thing is, I've seen the cop, there's like a copypasta that's been going
around. Yeah, it's the, to be fair, you have to have a really high IQ,
which I
use that in real life all the time. I think it's one of the funniest things that exists.
That meme?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But I think it's because there are... Because Rick and Morty is pretty... It's pretty good, I think. Like, I like it a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I don't... I think there's a very vocal minority of people that think it takes actual intelligence to understand the show.
Sure, which is hysterical because it's... I mean, even the producers were like, we put this together... You know, after dropping acid and,
they were
getting
like
hitched
trashed.
In Vegas.
Yeah.
they just put it together like, huh, I wonder if anyone shares our sense of just complete and utter garbage humor.
Yeah, Justin Roiland did, he was one of the creators of Regular Show, and that show is off the wall bananas.
Uh-huh. It's smart in the way that it approaches like absurdity. Like people enjoy that sort of humor, so it's smart in how it capitalizes on it. But it's not smart.
Yeah, it's
not
smart.
Like,
but
that was a subtle allusion to
Troyevsky's,
to Ulysses by Joyce. You know,
it's smart but not intelligent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you could easily be both.
Yeah.
You know, smart, like quick wit where you have to follow the dialogue, but it's really just dialogue. It's not like you have to have a broad knowledge of general trivia to understand what's going on.
Or even like a deeper understanding of like, I don't know. Astrophysics or quantum physics. Yeah. Like,
I really hope someone tunes in right now without the context of us saying it's funny how awful people who think that show is smart are. Mm. And now we're like, you know, well, Rick and Morty, people turn in right now. Well, you know, Rick and Morty's got some merit in it. It's really smart.
It's like, oh wow.
All right, well, I'm not
liberals.
It's like a family touring the. The son's like, let's leave. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, I heard they have a radio station.
There's a tour group out there right now, and they're all just there's a pile of Loft sweatshirts, and they just lit them on fire.
They turn on the second I start the. You know, to be fair, you have to have a really high IQ to understand Rick and Morty.
The father's like, "All right, everyone, give me your regalia. Give me your gear. We're gonna go start a bonfire.
Hey, we are never coming back here again."
What are we at? Okay, we're at 4:43. So
we could
I would push.
We could do music early, and then we could do like a small conversation more of the day sign off.
Yeah,
as opposed to like signing off in the music. All right.
Alright, you got some lined up for us?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's gotta go on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. Loving that dead air. Sounds beautiful.
How about, alright. You know what? Let's do, Under Cover of Darkness by The Strokes.
Oh, I know this song.
This song.
Incidentally, this is also the name of a song off the Halo 2 album.
Really?
Yep. And I found this song because I was listening to that one.
That's pretty funny.
So, Under Cover of Darkness by The Strokes. We will be back in a few minutes. Stay with us and enjoy the music.
Back out of work and you're bad.
Listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. And back again is Mocha Gumbo, in which I am James.
And in which I am Kevin.
That last song was, Anyone Who Knows What Love Is Will Understand by Irma Thomas.
Haunting.
Really, I usually don't listen to soul, but it's great. I know that from Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. The modern X-Files or Twilight Zone.
Yeah, fantastic show.
And I dig Twilight Zone. I think there's actually, if I'm not mistaken, I know they do it on Thanksgiving, but I think there's also a 25-day during December.
25-day?
I forget what it is.
I know there's I think there's a 3 or 4 day Twilight Zone marathon for like leading up to New Year's.
Is that what it is?
I think it's the 2 days before New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day.
You can just Twilight Zone.
Click it on and sink into a chair for
And it's
98 hours.
I really do not enjoy watching many shows or movies. It's just typically not been my thing, and I'm not sure why. And when I do, I invest myself. But I don't know, I just don't like spending that much time doing that. But Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's different.
20-minute just morsels of great storytelling.
Yeah.
And it's just one after the other.
You know, to be fair, you have to have a really high IQ to understand.
You were giddy because you were like a little jumpy because you were like, I got it. I got my moment.
I'm sorry.
You think that was the... Yeah, Twilight Zone was the Rick and Morty equivalent of like the 1950s, 60s.
Oh, man. I hope not.
When did that come out?
It's old. Rod Stewart... Yeah, it's old.
I mean, it's black and white, so it's got to be like
I'd say 60s. Yeah, I think so. Are we doing a word of the day?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
All right, bye.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to hang out with my friend's roommates from Coastal Carolina are Australians.
Oh, now why? They're Australian.
They're on a holiday.
Holiday.
They're studying abroad here. And I was with them for 8 hours straight. And by the end of it, they were like, "Hey, Vinny, how you doing, mate?" I was like, "Mate,
hey, you
I'm
picked
doing
up
fine.
Quite a bit."
Yeah, it was like I'd be just talking to them and be like, "Oh no, mate," and like I was like, "I'm so sorry." They're like, "Nah, it's not uncommon." Like,
I find the Australian accent so endearing.
It's,
I love Australian
it's
accents.
So sweet. I love them.
Uh-huh.
Great guys.
All right. So the word of the day is, and I actually don't know how to pronounce this. So
it's anneal.
I believe it's anneal. I've never heard this word before.
Anneal.
Anneal.
Like Anneal deGrasse Tyson or Anneal Patrick Harris.
No. it is. Sorry, I think I lost our music. to heat and then cool a material such as steel or glass, usually for softening and making less brittle. Also, to cool slowly, usually in a furnace. Now, that's interesting, because this word is two actions. This word is a process word.
Yeah, so as opposed to, like... Yeah, I would assume you would use it when you're talking about blacksmithing or something like that.
Now, it's very limited. It's not... I like words... Now, that I don't know why, but I've... Obviously, I read a lot, and... Because I'm very smart.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
And when I like... There's this... I forget what the idea is. I forget the name of this idea. But in, like, linguistics, which I find fascinating, it's, I think it's called either conglomeration or agglomeration. It's some kind of omeration.
Yeah, describe it.
But it's when words converge under a single definition. So, in this case, two actions. So, like, one word can has multiple uses and can describe...
Yeah, I think it's a conglomeration.
A variety of things. Mm. Or, I think, maybe a hold on.
You know what word I like?
What?
Portmanteau.
Portmanteau.
And I like portmanteaus.
As in, give me one. They're like two words joined together to make one word. Not a compound word, but like...
Yeah, it's a, wow.
Like, you're frazzled and bedazzled. You're befrazzled.
Yes, something like that, yeah. Sorry, I blanked. I really just blanked right there.
Agglutination. Yep, that's not it. That's a bodily process. But there are some words in certain cultures that are so, like, that language conglomerates to the point. And there's this theory that language just continues to conglomerate to the point where language becomes maximally efficient, because certain words that can be used efficiently and cover a very great number of topics while maintaining clear lines of communication become prevalent. There's better examples and more impressive examples, but like shalom, you know, where it means a number of things,
or
aloha.
The word like.
Like. No, but like is a verbal crutch, really. It's not
I don't think so. Oh, so like you can use like as the verbal crutch. You have like as in, like when you use it as a simile, right? Like when you use it as such as.
Right.
You have like to describe when you're fond of something, right? You have, like, to describe when something is similar to something, not necessarily in a simile form, right? It, like, has, I believe, around 12 definitions or something. There's a lot.
Yeah, that would probably cover it. And there are some words that, in different cultures, and I can't think of any at the moment. By the way, actually, just to get derailed for a second, we've only got 3 minutes, but I've really been wanting to talk about this. Another one of my professors brought up something in class about... I believe it's undiscovered or uncontacted peoples. Have you heard about this?
We talked about this yesterday.
Did we talk about it on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, good. I wanted to make sure I covered that because I'm still fascinated.
Yeah,
by
very
it.
Cool stuff. I remember we actually had like a 10-minute conversation about that.
Yeah, I spent a lot of my break just looking them up. Yeah, just doing my Wikipedia surfing. It's just so much fun. Just being like, what's, you know?
Yeah, because then we did 7 degrees from Hitler.
Right. Classic. Wow, we're quite predictable.
This is the second time we talked about Hitler in this episode.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We should probably tone it down to one. Actually, I mean zero. All right, we're aiming for one, which means we're aiming to talk about Hitler once.
God.
All right, we are at 4:58. And just for courtesy, just for courtesy's sake, I think we'll go ahead and wrap up. And I'm going to go ahead and close this out because I think you just brought us back.
Yep,
you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. This was Mocha Gumbo, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm James.
And we will see you next time for our winter episode, for our Christmas episode / holiday episode, because we might throw some Adam Sandler in there.
God.
We have to, for, you know, to be inclusive.
Do we have to?
No. All right, but next episode will be our final episode until next semester, and we'll be bringing in those Christmas tunes, so definitely tune in 4 to 5 next Monday. Same Mocha, same Gumbo. We love you.
to